Lovely to be with you in the morning meeting. It's usually evening I come, but I'm delighted to be here and wonderful to address those that are on Facebook, I think it is, online anyway. A warm welcome to you. May God bless you and encourage you as we share together. Rescue to live for the glory of God. Oh, what an awesome thing that is, isn't it? Yes. That you and I have got a purpose. You and I are not aimlessly drifting around, but we've got a purpose in God. So let's pray that we're just going to be encouraged and strengthened in that this morning. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for what you've said to us already in many different ways. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, that you will encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, and move us on. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning about a passion that pursues the purpose of God. You see, you and I, we can look at the past and we can learn from the past, but we can't live in the past. We've got to move on. I mean, so many people are saying, wouldn't it be wonderful when we get back to normal? Wouldn't it be wonderful when this is all over and we're back to normal? No, we're not going back. We're moving on, aren't we? We're moving forward. And I believe God has got great things for this church and great things for your life as we fix the focus of our faith on what lies ahead. Listen to what Paul said, just one very simple verse in Philippians 3, verse 13. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Isn't it wonderful when it's so simple? One thing. You don't have to be cluttered up in your mind with all manner of different thoughts and plans and ideas. Paul makes it so simple. He says, one thing. If we just focused on that one thing, oh, we'd find ourselves with a new energy and a new enthusiasm rather than getting diluted and drained by all the many things that seem to be needing to be done. Not held back by the past, but straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, this is so important because did you know that spiritual fulfillment comes in the exact proportion to the intensity of our desire? And so if we've not got that passion, that intensity of desire to be straining forward for God, we're not going to find much fulfillment. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. And I believe as we move forward, it needs to be with that passion, that enthusiasm for what God has got for us as a church and as individuals. Now let me show you, it was a passionate purpose that motivated God to send Jesus. In Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, when the scripture is speaking prophetically about the way Jesus was going to come, the way it says that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We then read, for the zeal of the Lord of Hosts shall do this. There's a passion, there's an enthusiasm, there's a determination in the heart of God to bring his salvation to mankind. And then we find this, that same passion was characterized by Christ when he came to fulfill God's will. Jesus said in John 2, verse 17, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Jesus was consumed with the purpose of God, consumed with a burning passion to see God's will come to pass. Now, our lives should reflect this enthusiastic passion in all that we do. Let me show you. Romans 12 and verse 11. Never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Oh, that the fire of God might burn within us. and that we might never lose that spiritual fervor as we seek to serve him. But with that in mind, at the beginning of this new year, let me ask you an important question. Are you stumbling along, slipping back, or straining forward? It's one or the other, isn't it? Stumbling along, just getting by, just getting through as we move forward in the new year. That place of slipping back from where we were, the enthusiasm that we once had, the thrill and the devotion that at one time was in us. Or we're a people that are straining forward. Now, when Paul is using this imagery of straining forward, it's of an athlete going for the goal. Every muscle, every sinew, every tissue of his body, this runner is straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, we can all get weary, can't we? And so easily get tired emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It can be a struggle, can't it, to stay focused and motivated, particularly after the 2 years of COVID that we've been in and are going through. However, God wants us to be 100% as we live for him, straining forward in our relationship with Christ, straining forward in our anticipation as to how he's going to use us, what he's going to do through our lives. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, but it's by the power at work within you. And we need to have that anticipation about how God is going to use us in this new year. And also straining forward to be obedient to fulfill his will, to have an eagerness and a commitment to do the will of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Can you imagine a church full of people like that? A church realizing that they've got a purpose, they've got a meaning, they've got a plan in life, and no matter what comes against that, the will of God is that you and I are 100%. I mean, the Bible says that we're to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and with all our strength. The totality of our being. Worshipping God in everything that we do. But personally, for myself, these last 2 weeks have been completely exhausting due to the fragile mental health of my youngest daughter, Naomi. Do you know, even throughout the global pandemic, the 21 months of that pandemic, my wife and I have experienced such a time of stress and weariness. The day after Boxing Day, my daughter Naomi tried to take her life again, and she was hospitalized for the fifth time in 18 months. And I asked the Lord, how do you stay at a place of straining forward when you feel battered, bruised, and so burdened? Talk about straining forward. Do you know, it was all that we could do to crawl out of bed in the morning, to face the day and to deal with all the issues that were surrounding this situation. But you know, in it all, God reminded me of the importance of walking together with him and abiding in his presence. The old song by Jim Reeves puts it like this: "He walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we shared as we tarried there, none other has ever known." That's real, isn't it? That's wonderful. It's not just words. Also, when we think about words, they can be very powerful. The words of King George VI in his Christmas Day broadcast of 1939 speak about walking together with God. Do you know they're as relevant today as they were then? At that time, Britain had been at war with Germany for 3 months. The outlook was uncertain and very gloomy, but the king stepped forward to address the nation, a nation facing the darkness of gloom and with an anxious future. And he did so as he quoted the words, bringing strength, reassurance, and hope to those that listen. This is what he said. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Oh, my encouragement to you this morning as we move forward, straining forward, is to put your hand into the hand of God. Whatever you're going through, whatever is overwhelming you, whatever is trying to weaken you, if you put your hand into the hand of God, you become invigorated. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, at the beginning of this year, as we put our hand into the hand of God, I want us to consider three things that strengthen our walk with the Lord. Number one, the purpose of God. Number two, the protection of God. And number three, the power of God. Firstly then, let's look at the purpose of God, the knowing within our heart God's purpose for our lives. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That which nourished and fueled and energized the Son of God was to do God's will. And not just to do it, but to make sure it was a finished work for you and me to enter into salvation, to know that our sins are forgiven, that our hope is in heaven, that the devil is defeated, that we too can live in victory just as Christ did. That passion is so important. A man by the name of C.T. Studd was a very famous England cricketer. But he gave up his fame and his fortune for a greater purpose, and that was to serve God as a missionary in India, in Africa, and in China. And C.T. Studd said this, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Oh, that's a passion, isn't it? That's a clear sense of purpose. And you and I, we can't drift along. We can't aimlessly approach this year and go through with a vague manner of a vision. There's got to be that clear knowledge of the purpose of God for our lives. Each one of us need that clear purpose. Do you know, if our purpose is vague, unknown, or a little bit shaky, what we find is that we won't be able to strain forward with any spiritual fervor. Purpose ignites passion, but life without purpose is pointless. It's simply motion without meaning. Paul expressed the significance of purpose in his own life when he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, having received this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. There's so many people losing heart today. So easy to get discouraged and feel as though we almost want to give it up. But when you know there's a call of God upon your life, there's a clear sense of purpose. You're not just going round and round in circles. When you've got that sense that God has called you for such a time as this, you can't lose heart because it's a heavenly calling. It's a high calling that we each need to know. Knowing the purpose of God was so important to Paul that he wrote to encourage others. He understood the significance in his own life and he wanted to teach and encourage other people about that purpose. And so he wrote in Colossians 1, verse 9 to 10, we do not cease to pray for you asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This was so important to Paul that he prayed and he prayed. He said he did not cease praying, but people might know that purpose, be filled with the knowledge of God's will in their lives. There is greatness and creativity within each one of us that we've still yet to discover. Something that is not the result of an imagined evolutionary process, but we are creatures with a soul made up of divine substance. We read in Genesis 1 and verse 26 that you and I have been made in the image and the likeness of God. Do you know that you are more than you have become? Just think about that for a moment. You are more, so much more than you have become. And unless you're straining forward, pursuing that purpose, you'll never reach the end of his days with that sense of satisfaction to say, I fought a good fight. I've kept my faith. And I've finished the course that God has given me to do. There is so much more for you to lay hold of, to make your own, and to move forward serving the Lord. Knowing that purpose is so crucial. When I say that you are more than you have become, I think of Gideon, threshing out corn in the wine press, afraid of the Midianites that were all around. And God came to Gideon, and God spoke to that frightened man, that man feeling so insecure, that man enclosed in this wine press. God said to him, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't see what we are right now? He sees what we're going to become. He sees the potential within us. God sees that we're more than we have become, and he encourages us and stirs us on to fulfill that plan and purpose that God has got for our lives. Our potential is stated in Ephesians 4 verse 13, to grow to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Don't settle for anything less. Don't think, well, I'm just an ordinary Christian. No, you've got divine substance in you. God's got a plan and a purpose that is written into your DNA, your spiritual DNA. And God wants you to begin to develop and to lay hold of all that you have been laid hold of for, to fulfill that purpose of God. God's plan and purpose for us is seen right throughout Scripture. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, the prophet says, before I formed you, before you were in the womb, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Jesus said in John 15, verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go forward and bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will remain. And Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you know, this is true, not just for the missionary, the pastor, the evangelist, the full-time worker. It's true for every born-again believer. And the unfolding of that purpose to us depends upon whether or not we live in harmony with God's will and follow carefully his instructions day by day. Let me give you an illustration of this. I want you to think of a building that is about to be built. Long before any building is developed, the architect sees and he writes down his plan. Then he gives it to the builders to begin the work. All the details in minute details are settled and in place before the first spade of soil is removed. What is required is that those who are given the plan follow precisely the instructions laid down. The same is true with regards to God's purpose for each one of us. Before we were born, His place of the plan in our heart was there. His blueprint for our lives included every detail necessary from start to finish. We've just got to say, Lord, show me and help me to live by Your will that I can fulfill Your purpose. Secondly, let's look at the protection of God. Not just the purpose of God, but the protection of God. The way that God protects the purpose. The way that God not only has a plan for us, but He will protect us. The Bible says, He who has begun a good work in you will see it through to completion if we're walking in obedience to His word. In Psalm 138 and verse 7 we read, though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. Thank God for His protection. I guess we've all got testimonies, haven't we? The things that have gone in our life, the things that God protected us from, the way He so marvelously has brought us to the place where we are here this morning. The hymn writer said, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead me on. Let me give you an illustration from my own life as a young teenager. Do you know, I shouldn't be here today. It should have been all over when I was about 14 years of age. As an excited, creative teenager, I was very keen about making bows and arrows. And I'd get a branch of a tree, a suitable branch that was very bendy and string on it. And then I'd get the arrow. That was the exciting part, a long bamboo cane like that. And at the end of the arrow there, I would place a very sharp dart, one of these darts that you throw. I'd wind it up and there it would be in the front. And then with great excitement, I'd point that arrow and pull back the bow and let it go, and it really went with some force and some distance. But one day, rather mistakenly, I decided to point the bow up into the air. And I let it go. And you know, it went completely out of sight. But then all of a sudden, bang! That arrow at great speed with that great pointed dart came thudding down, and without any exaggeration, literally about a quarter of an inch from my foot. That's where it landed. If that had landed on my head, I wouldn't be here today. And I say, thank you, God, for Your protection. Thank you, God, for the way that You've kept me on the motorways. Thank you, God, for the way You've kept me in my health. Thank you, God, for the way You've kept me from my youth. God is good. God is so good. Now, listen to this. While most Christians desire to get from where they are in life to where God wants them to be, some are completely oblivious to any threat against their expected destination. And it reminds me of an amusing story I heard about a plane journey where the pilot announced over the intercom, "We have lost one of the engines, but there's no need to worry. It just means that we'll be arriving an hour late than anticipated." 30 minutes later, a second announcement came. "Don't be alarmed, but I'm afraid another engine has just gone. We'll now be arriving 2 hours later at our destination." Not long afterwards, the pilot apologized again, saying, "I'm so sorry, but the third engine is now lost. It'll now take 4 hours longer than scheduled." At that point, one of the passengers turned to her husband and said, "I'm starting to get really worried now. If that last engine goes, we'll be up here all night." And you know, some people are completely oblivious to the dangers that there are around to prevent the arrival of their destination. Problems are ahead of us. There's no doubt about that. Thank God for a new year full of its joys and blessings and achievements and challenges. But you can be sure in this new year there's going to be plenty of dangers, plenty of problems, plenty of unexpected events that are trying to take us completely off course. But if God is our pilot and we're listening to Him, we'll get through every crisis and arrive safely at our appointed destination. Let me illustrate this from Scripture. The barren womb of Sarah at 90 years of age was against the promise of Isaac and the nation of Israel being conceived. The intention of Pharaoh to kill every newborn Hebrew boy was against the prospect of Moses growing up and becoming the great deliverer of God's people. The intention of Goliath, with all his threats of viciousness, to tear David apart and to feed his flesh to the birds of the air, was against the plan of God for David to become king. And we find the scheming of Satan was against Peter to stop him becoming a great apostle. But Jesus said, look, Peter, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning the Lord's praying for us? He's praying for you that you're going to make it. He's praying for you that you're going to come through that crisis. He's praying for you that you get up again from your discouragement and have a fire and a passion in his heart. The Lord is praying for you. The gates of hell were and still are against the advance of the church. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God watches over his word to perform it. And he watches over you in all that faces you and threatens you if you're trusting in him. And thirdly, having looked at the purpose of God and considered the protection of God, let's just take a few moments and look at the walking that you and I have to do in the power of God. For the Apostle Paul, the reality of Christ's resurrection was not merely a doctrine, it was a dynamic power. As a result of encountering Jesus on the Damascus Road, his life was totally transformed by the power of God. And so Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God. Paul had personally experienced its power. He knew it worked. And he knew it would work in the lives and the needs and the struggles of other people as he preached the gospel of what God's power was able to accomplish. In Philippians 3 verse 10, here's the Apostle Paul, his overriding priority, his number one passion. He says this, Lord, I want to know you and know the power of your resurrection. Few people knew the power of God better than Paul. And yet Paul had an insatiable desire to know more of that power. How much do you know of the power of God? How great is your desire to know more of the power of God in your life? Knowing the power of God is to have an intimate experience of its truth that goes far beyond head knowledge and theory or anything that you could read in a book. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4 and 5, my message and my preaching was not in enticing words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul experienced the power, walked in that power, and wanted other people to know that power in their own lives. Now, what we need today more than anything else in the church is an awakening to that same power. In Isaiah 52 and verse 1, the prophetic word of God is, "Awake, awake, O Zion, come clothe yourself with strength." There is an extraordinary strength, an amazing power in God. But first of all, we've got to wake up. Do you know the church for throughout this period of COVID, to a large degree, has hibernated. It's been in a slumber, cowering and stepping back. It is time for the church to wake up. Time for the church to speak up. Time for the church to proclaim the greatness of God and to believe God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. It's a message for people that are afraid and in despair outside of the church. But we've got to carry that message with conviction. We've got to walk in that message, knowing the power of God in a real way in our own lives. Do you know, as you look at the first disciples, we see clearly that without that power, they would have been unable to fulfill the purpose of God. They needed the power of God. You and I need that power of God so that we're relevant to the needs that are around and people begin to sit up and take notice of the things that we're saying. It was Franklin Roosevelt, America's 32nd president, who once said, "I doubt if there is a single problem, political or economic, that will not melt before the fire of a spiritual awakening." That's what our nation needs, isn't it? But it's got to start with us. Awaken something in me. Bring me to that place of passion, that place of purpose, that place of experiencing your power. Just as I close, let me show you quickly. The power of God's Holy Spirit is essential for basically three reasons. Number one, to overcome sin. Number two, to be effective in service for the Lord. And number three, to live victoriously against Satan. When we think about sin, that so often we have a battle with, the temptations are real and all around us. And sin will always quench the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We read this in Galatians 5, verse 16. "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Whatever those lusts are, and they're different things for different people, if the power of God is in us and we're walking in that power, we'll find ourselves not interested in the temptation, certainly not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. It was General Booth of the Salvation Army that wrote that wonderful hymn, "To burn up every trace of sin, to let the light and glory in, the revolution now begin, send the fire today." When we think of effective service for the Lord, Zechariah 4 verse 6, often quoted, says this, "It's not by your own might or by your own power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And I guarantee an individual that will have a revelation of that and depend entirely upon the power of God will begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles breaking out in their lives in a tremendous way. Acts 4 verse 33, this bold supernatural power is seen. It says, "And with great power the apostles gave their witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the last one, to live victoriously against Satan, such a formidable foe, but one that can be easily beaten by the Spirit-filled Christian that is walking in the power of God. When speaking about the Christian's warfare, Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, stand strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We can't stand in our own strength. We've got no might of our own ability. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3 verse 16 therefore says that we are to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. Oh, to have a hunger and a thirst, a passion, to cry out like Paul and say, I want to know you and know the power of your resurrection. If we have that intense desire, we find the fulfillment of it in our lives as we look to the Lord. So in conclusion, because you and I have been made in the image and likeness of God, our lives can never be insignificant and should never be aimless. Within each one of us, there is a God-given destiny. Therefore, let me come back to the question we began with this morning. Are you stumbling along, slipping back, or straining forward as you go into the new year? God wants each one of us to be 100% in everything that we do. And so this morning, let's come together and say, Lord, I need to see more clearly your purpose for my life. Let's come and say, Lord, I need to trust more fully in your protection. And let's come and say, Lord, I need to walk more confidently in your power. As we say that, it's going to give us new revelation, new experience, a new reality to go forward and make this new year count for the glory of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Lord.